Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. And not just our Muslim brothers and sisters, but all of our brothers and sisters. We welcome everyone from all walks of life, from all faiths, because it is only through understanding each other that we will come together as a society and be able to function better to overcome the issues that we have, like education and food and things like that. Because regardless of what you think about in your daily life and where you're from, I'm going to tell you that there are people here in America that don't get enough to eat on a day-to-day basis. And we have to overcome our differences so that we can work together to help people like that. And now that I have made my little spiel about helping our neighbors, allow me to introduce the hardest working imam that I know. Ladies and gentlemen, please say assalamu alaikum to Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, peace and blessings be upon every human being out there and possibly alien that's out in space. What do you say, Carl?
I will tell you, no joke. So I've always thought that, and I know that Einstein wrote about this as well, but mathematically speaking, it is impossible for us to be the only species anywhere. And in the Bible and Christianity, they kind of shun that idea a little bit. And when I was thinking about converting, I opened the Quran. And I think it was Al-Fatiha. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Al-Fatiha. Where it specifically says, we created the world.
So you're talking about the first chapter and the first verse in the first chapter on the first page of the Holy Quran.
Yes.
In which Allah states that that all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. With a plural.
Which means he created more than one, so yeah. You can interpret that however you want.
we're addressing our unidentified, unknown friends out in space also, because these sound waves travel up into space through satellites, which sometimes maybe give off sound to other areas in space that maybe travel further than we know. But we greet everyone. We greet everyone that's listening to us and their families and their friends and their communities. And as Carl said, welcome back to another interesting episode of Raw Islam. And Carl, I want to begin today because there's a lot that's happening.
Yes,
but I want to begin by touching on where we ended last episode. If you recall, last episode we talked about how one should embrace and accept the hurdles of life in order to move forward, to embrace it and to accept it. And it really got me thinking because it was a very powerful, I think, segment we had. What do you think, Carl? How was that?
I think it was very powerful. And I actually spent some time over the course of like the next week or so just saying, you know, it's true. We really do have to get over the why me mentality.
And you know, I was thinking about it just as you just stated. It continues to linger, and that's why I like speaking about these things, because first and foremost, it's a reminder to myself. And if it can allow me to think and try to come to a understanding with myself on certain issues, then hopefully my journey, my struggle will allow others to take their own individual journeys, and hopefully their struggles will bear fruits of goodness for themselves, and their prayers would help me in myself bearing those fruits of goodness. So I don't want to make a tongue twister, but I know it's hard to do it and it's easy to say it. So what came to mind was a incident that occurred at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when a lady came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and said that she has health-related issues. And she described it, and she said that, "I get these seizures. And when I get these seizures, I have no control over my body. There is no control from my mind on my body. And ultimately, when I get through this phase or this seizure, I realize that I'm exposed because I lose my clothing in the course of what transpires." This is something that she's not only, you know, spilling her heart out explaining, but she is talking about something which is really big. She's having a problem where she acknowledges it is present, but beyond the problem itself, she tried to focus light or shed light on the outcome of that problem. "Look, I have these seizures." That wasn't her complaint. Her complaint was, "Due to these seizures, I tend to lose my clothing. So pray to Allah that I stop having these seizures." And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, being a prophet and a messenger and a guide and a mercy to humanity, told her that, "If you want, I could pray to Allah right now and your seizures can be gone. But if you want, you could bear it with patience and all you'll have in the afterlife is paradise. Like, there's no cutting it short. There's no beating around the bush. Paradise is waiting for you because of the struggles you're enduring right now." So she thought about it because he gave her the choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave her a very clear-cut show of choice. "You ask me to pray, I will pray, and it's going to happen." Meaning, you're not going to have the problem anymore. But, if you want, I could ask Allah. I say, "If you want, you could bear it with patience and you'll get paradise." So she contemplated on it and then she said, "Okay, ask Allah. Ud'u Allah alla atakashaf. Ask Allah that I don't expose myself." Meaning, I accept the seizures. I accept that to be part of my life. Just ask Allah that I could keep my respect and honor by whenever this happens, it's limited, that I don't expose myself. So he made supplication for her that made that not happen. The point here is many angles. One is that we may not be able to change certain things in our life. Technology and science could advance. Maybe one day there will be a remedy. There may be a cure for certain ailments that some of us that are listening may face. Maybe there'll be some type of technology that can regrow arms and legs or toes, or, you know, reinsert eyes into people who've lost those eyes, or restore sight to those who've lost sight, or restore hearing to those that are deaf. Maybe that will happen, but may not happen in our life. So the question then becomes, do I sit back and complain about it? Do I anticipate something? Or do I just embrace the moment and live with it? And you'll see that there's two sects of society. Those that embrace the moment, Allah opens on them and God opens on them some truly amazing things that they could do with their other senses. Or despite having certain difficulties, they could do things that people who are considered, as they say to themselves, sane and stable, they may not be able to. You know, there is an amazing documentary I saw of this guy who's truly autistic. And Carl, I don't know if you know people who are autistic. I'm sure you might have come across many. I lived in a community that many children were autistic. And, you know, I saw them growing up. And I just saw them a month ago. How mashallah, you know, you know, God preserve and save them, how big they've grown, how healthy they are, and how jolly they are. There was a documentary on this guy, I don't call it a documentary, but there was this movie on this guy who was autistic, but he had this amazing mind that they could take him in a helicopter over a city like New York and just go over it once, and then he could draw the entire city in total detail. I'm telling you, he's not going to exaggerate. Every building with its height in comparison to the next building, its proximity to other buildings, the entire skyline he could draw. Just by one glance, mashallah, with a helicopter. He just flies across, they land with him, and then there he goes. So what that person did was he didn't take his restrictions to be a disability. He rather took that to empower him for other abilities that those that don't consider themselves disabled or needy, they can't do what he does. So this is one of many examples, and that's why it all goes down to that submission, as Islam is willful submission to the God. That means we accept him, we accept his word, we accept the decree, we accept what he's put in our lot, in our fate and destiny, and we continue to explore within it what is the gold and the diamonds that are hidden underneath it. We don't jump out of that basket and look in other people's baskets and say, how come I don't have this and how come I don't have that? So with that, I turn our discussion now towards, Carl, Ramadan. Because Ramadan is so swiftly approaching. It's literally in a few days.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, Carl, you know, we've talked about it this week, and how are you feeling about the approach of Ramadan?
I think my perspective on Ramadan is a little different, because I know, like, the first and second year that I converted, I was able to fast, and it was a little later. It was more like it was like September, October. But as time went and I got older, my body and my genetics didn't want to keep up with me, and I spent like 2 or 3 Ramadans, just I would fast for like a day or two, and then I would just get really sick and I couldn't fast the rest. And then finally, in the last 2-3 years here, I actually went and I spoke to an imam, and I ended up getting I spoke to a sheikh, and I ended up getting a fatwa, because I with medical and age, I just can't anymore. But at the same time, I look forward to prayers being more valuable. I look forward to, and I know this is the first time I heard it, I know I was taken back, but I'm looking forward to all the little devils and jinn and shaitan being locked away for 30 days, because, you know, it just, there seems to be an air of peace about it. Obviously, and those are the things that I look forward to in Ramadan, and I'm excited for those things to be coming.
So basically, in essence, you are excited about the holy month, as I am myself. As myself, I am also very excited. So are the children and the community members, and I'm sure I'm speaking for Muslims all across the globe. We are so happy to see Ramadan coming again. And it's just, you know, it's giving us that text message. I've landed. I've got my Uber. I'm 5 minutes away. So it's like, you know, it's keeping us posted and updated. And we're so anxiously awaiting its arrival. And Carl, you did speak about the fact that you can't fast due to health reasons, which is Islamically very, very true. And the exemption is there. But you did ice the cake at the end by telling us that despite that, you're still very happy and anxious. And the question that I want to pose today is, why are we so happy and anxious about Ramadan when it happens so often? It's like, if a guest comes the first time, you're really ecstatic about it. But if that guest starts dropping by every week, you're like, okay, you know where the fridge is, you know where the water is, you know where the bathroom is. Oh man, oh, you're back again, you know. But we never get tired of it. It visits us every year, 10 days earlier than it did the previous year. But we're still so happy about it. And when you ask yourself, why am I happy? I think we talked about this in the Islamic Relief podcast. What's the name of that podcast, Carl?
It's the What a Relief podcast, which can be found at irusa.org/podcasts. Because, well, for whatever reason, the RSS feed, which is the HTML web language for the podcast, there was a mistake made, and so podcast is the RSS feed, whereas podcasts is the actual web page. But okay. I was actually thinking where you were saying that yes, Ramadan is like a visitor that comes 10 days earlier every year for a month, but not every visitor that comes to your house every year 10 days earlier brings such amazing and outstanding gifts as Ramadan does.
And you hit it. So that's exactly, so before I answer that, if our listeners could tune into Islamic Relief or What a Relief podcast with Islamic Relief or irusa.org, I believe it's podcast number 63. We did just last week and we talked about Ramadan and what it means to a Muslim. So in that, I spoke extensively about the fast and the hurdles that we have to cross and the hardships that we have to bear in order to, you know, benefit from this month. But you know what, Carl? Those gifts that you just said, those gifts, they are so pleasing and bring so much satisfaction and tranquility and contentment and happiness and serenity and peace and bliss that we don't care if it lives with us for 30 days. We wouldn't mind if it was 300 days. So that's exactly where the point goes to, is that that craving and that yearning isn't a physical one. Ramadan is another symbol, just as a pilgrimage is another symbol, that despite the heat, the crowd, the noise, the clamor, the you know, the different languages and the different days of movement, every human being is so happy because that this isn't a physical calling. This is not the calling of the body. This is now the calling of a soul. And just like a newborn baby arrives into this world and embraces a whole new dynamics which are foreign to it, in a similar fashion, the soul is entering into a phase where for the last 11 months, we finger-fed it, we gave it some snacks, we gave it some appetizers, but we failed to give it complete attention and a full four-course meal because we had a body to take care of. Because before we saw our soul, we saw the body. So every listener out there that's Muslim can start relating with this, and I'm sure they can relate with this, that our anticipation and our jubilance of this month, the happiness that we display, isn't something that we can pinpoint on our physical being, that my hands are happy, my feet are happy, my head is happy, my heart is happy. My heart is the connection to my soul, and my soul is very happy because my soul is going to get an opportunity to get that attention. It's like two siblings. You have two children, and the eldest one always tries to prove something, and the youngest one is always saying, but dad, look, I could do that too. Look, I did this also. It's trying to get that attention. And we're like, okay, yeah, good stuff. But look, your brother did it too. So what happens is at times in our lives, and I can relate to it, and I hope others can relate to it too, but this is my personal experience, is that we give too much attention to the body, and that in result makes us fail to give due attention to our soul. So the month of the soul's cravings and yearnings and happiness and appetite, the month of attention and direction of the soul, the month of reviving and restoring and replenishing the soul is coming up. And that is exactly what the month of Ramadan is. And when that month begins, regardless if you're fasting or not, regardless if you are fasting for 14 hours or 18 hours, regardless if you are in the summer heat of Florida or in the bitter cold winter of Australia, you're going to have an amazing month. You know why? Because you will see how your soul can change your body to do things you thought it never could.
No, it's true. You're 100% right. And, you know, honestly, while everything you said is correct, I when I was saying that Ramadan brings amazing gifts with it, I was referring more towards what was the word that somebody used yesterday? Ibadah.
Ibadah means worship.
Yeah, and that was for me, that was because I know that the simplest act that, so okay, let me see if I can explain this. So I know the hadith about the guy who died, and he on the day of judgment, he went to the Prophet, or he was stood before Allah rather, and Allah said, "Do you have anything to put on the good side of your scale?" And he said, "No, I do not." And so they loaded all his bad deeds on, and of course the scale was completely lopsided. And he said, "Did my angels misrecord anything?" "No, they did not." "Is there anybody to speak on your behalf?" "No, there is not." And Allah said, "You're wrong." And they brought out what was just the size of a note card, and they put it on the good deed side of the scale, and the scale tipped all the way over. And they lifted up the note card and looked at it, and it said, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah."
SubhanAllah, glory be to the Lord. And that's exactly a beautiful story, but that was related to us.
Right. And what I was saying was that so when Ramadan comes, I know that every time I make salah, I know that every time I can't fast, my wife and my daughter can. So I buy the dates and I make sure they have dates and I give them their dates and a glass of water at Maghrib. I know that the value of that goes way up, so that on the day of judgment, I have more on that side of the scale.
And that's amazing, Carl, because that story that you related is about a person who comes on the day of judgment. He's like, "You know what? I don't have anything to prove to God." But Allah says, "You do have something." And that faith, that testimony of faith that you believe in God and that you submit to your Lord and that you believe Muhammad is the last messenger, as this is the faith in Islam to us, this alone was the backbone that inspired that individual to do good. It inspired them, as you said, to make sure that you fed the fasting person, to ensure that you took care of the poor person, to ensure that you shared with what you shared, whatever you had, and you never shied away from any moment to do something good. You ran to the mosque because you knew the virtues were there, and you prayed long nights because you knew that made your Lord happy. You knew that gave you an opportunity to introspect and to self-rectify yourself so that you can demonstrate goodness to the world. So it was the seed. It was the seed that led to so many other goods that happened. But he thought that I did nothing good. But in actuality, good has a cause and a reason. So the cause of goodness could be wealth. It could be actions. It could be words. It could be many things. But the reason behind it is, because in Islam, we believe we want to please our Lord. And we can't please our Lord in a manner that we feel suitable to ourselves or in a method that we feel is right to ourselves. Rather, it's a method that was prescribed by Him to us all. So Ramadan opens up many different channels within ourselves. We see generosity is in ourselves. You know, we talk about people like Bill Gates, who has donated a great amount of his fortune towards charity. And we're all saying, if I was as rich as Bill Gates, I would have donated. But you know what? If you donate in Ramadan and that allows you to see, I can donate. I am donating. Maybe not the same number, maybe not the same sum, but maybe percentage-wise, I might be giving more than he is. Right? Have you thought about it? If Bill Gates donates $1 million and he's a multi-billionaire, right? Let's say that's 1% of his wealth, but you have $100 and you give $10. That's what? 10% of your wealth. So at the end of the day, it's not about comparison. It's about knowing that you can do it too. That quality of consideration is in you also. Ramadan opens that channel. The quality of giving is in you. Ramadan opens that channel. The quality of understanding the value of things is in you. That opens up a channel in Ramadan. In a similar fashion, consideration. In a similar fashion, kindness. In a similar fashion, respect. In a similar fashion, caring about our earth to make sure that we don't ruin this earth, to bring about peace. In the month of Ramadan, there's peace, there's love. If we could do it for 30 days, we could do it for 365 days. 300 more days or 330 more days isn't a game changer. 30 days proved you could do so much. And that's why Ramadan comes annually to remind us that if you could be at the best behavior while your guest is here, and you could be kind and respectful while the guest is here, you could also do that when the guest is not here.
Alhamdulillah. No, and you're 100% right. And it, you know, I was just thinking while you were talking that, you know, I personally would like to give a shout out to people that you were talking about going to the mosque and praying the extra prayers, praying the Tarawiyah. And, you know, I got to give a shout out to those people, especially in my age bracket, that do Tarawiyah, still make it to Fajr, still eat breakfast, and still fast all day, and still go work for 8-9 hours a day. And mashallah, may Allah accept your fasting and every step that you take, may it be multiplied, because it's that's a lot. That's a lot, because like you were saying, there are places that fast 18 hours a day. And if you do the math, 18 hours, 24 hours in a day, you got to get up a half an hour, hour before Fajr to have breakfast, and then Fajr, and then fasting, and you got to go, it, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. And you know why, Carl? Because it's just like a parent that sometimes selfishly promotes one child over the other and banks on that child. My child is going to become successful. My this child's going to become a doctor. My this child is going to do everything for me. And ultimately, it's the child that you ignored or the child that you didn't have any hopes on that exceeds beyond your hopes or expectations of the first child. In a similar fashion, we think the body needs to sleep for it to function well. The body needs right food for it to function well. The body needs adequate hours of comfort and rest and entertainment and prayers for it to function well. Where the soul is saying, you don't need to sleep because I don't need sleep. The soul doesn't need its sleep. The soul doesn't need food. The soul doesn't need water. The soul doesn't need to weightlift. The soul doesn't need to do cardio. The soul doesn't need to dress properly. The soul is bare naked inside us and is perfectly fine. And it's telling us, look, body, stand aside. Let me prove to you. Let me prove to you that I can do much more than you can do. So when we can, as Muslims, you know, people say, well, your Islam says to be nice to yourself and respect your brothers and be kind to each other. But that gives us, what does that give a green light for you to be rude to us because we're not Muslims, or to be harmful to us because we're not Muslims? Well, what it says is that if you can be true to yourself, number one, number two, true to your Lord, and number three, true to those who are pursuing the same course, then you are true to the rest of humanity. If you can be who you are outside the house, inside the house, then your being that person inside the house will make you a better person outside the house. Make sense, Carl?
Makes complete sense.
That's why it teaches us what happened yesterday, 2 days ago, sorry, in Manchester, England, where there was a suicide bomb outside Ariana Grande's concert, where 22 people have died and over 50 people have been injured. This is just, again, another one of many baseless, inhumane actions that are happening around our world. And I don't want to even ruin our podcast to talk about it, nor do I want to stand here and apologize. But what I want to point out is there was a great display of humanity that occurred after this great tragedy. There's a story of a lady who grabbed 50-odd kids. She took them to safety in a shelter where she was, and they took care of those kids until their parents could reunite with them. There was Domino's that was delivering, you know, I'm talking about, you know those things, what do you call those things that you move boxes with? It's like...
Forklift.
Has two wheels on the bottom.
Oh, the hand cart, the hand truck.
A hand truck, right? The one you could like load a whole things in. Like, you know, UPS and FedEx uses it sometimes. They throw a whole bunch of boxes and they drag it to your house. So there was pizza boxes piled to the top going to the hospital to feed the hospital staff because they're working, right? Because there's a lot of trauma and there's a lot of injuries and there's a lot of tragedy. So their pizzas are being delivered. Sikh community, Muslim community, and I'm not going to see this is people, Muslim, Sikh, Christian, Hindu, atheist, you could name the whole nine yards of all cultures. There was a Sikh driver I saw a picture of. He put a sign on the back of his car, free taxi. They were giving rides to people free to get to the train stations or to get to their homes. Free taxi drives. Doctors are working in the hospital. It's just a tremendous display that humanity overcomes. Humanity is stronger than inhumane actions. Love is greater than hate. Togetherness is more powerful than disunity. And being one body, one force, one understanding, this supersedes all the hate and the fear and the what do you want to call that? The fear, the hate, and the demeaning of the other. It's much more superior. So I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here, Carl. These tragedies are only being perpetrated by people deliberately to create rift, divide, hate, animosity, prejudice, racism, phobias, so that we can kill one another. They just want to spark the fire and hope that this could burn down acres and acres of forest. But what happens, it turns around, and with every fire that they burn on every tree, we're planting a million new trees. And with every bucket of water that they're trying to make us waste on taking out those fires, we're creating new oceans. So the world saw a display of goodness, and that's why Muslims are commanded through practices such as Ramadan to equip ourselves with that level of courtesy, that level of compassion, that level of mercy and love, so that we could truly share it with everyone. And at the same time, stand up for what is right and to stand against such tyranny and such evil acts, so that we can root out as one community all the wrong that's happening. And I know we call this raw Islam and we want to talk about current Islamic issues, but time and time again, we have to remind ourselves that terrorism is something that's real in our world. It's happening. But at the same token, let's remember, terrorism isn't a religion. Terrorism has no religion. Terrorism is only evil, and evil could only become, evil can only be defeated by goodness.
I mean, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I've seen it a couple of times on Twitter, and it's one of my, mm-hmm. It's a short video. It's maybe 30 seconds, 25 seconds. And mm-hmm. the guy was just an English looking dude. He didn't really have any sort of ethnic features or ethnic look about him. Just an Englishman. And he said, this act was done for what? so that we would turn against our neighbors, so that we would suspect each other, so that we would tear apart our community. He's like, and that's not the way Manchester operates. We're going to stand with our neighbors. And I was like, hey, good on you, dude.
And that's right. Manchester stood up for each other. London stood up for Manchester. England stood up for Manchester. Europe stood up for Manchester. America stood up for Manchester. We all stand with Manchester. We stand with every single community and every people that are facing such atrocious acts by the hands of barbaric people who only feel hate is the only way to exist in this world. And we call upon people at times when our demeanors are tested, our minds are picked, our hearts are ripped out of our chest, that we reinforce positive values and that we reinforce positive demeanor and that we embrace, not run, that we embrace one another, not run from each other, that we don't suspect one another, rather we sympathize with one another, that we don't slander one another, rather we soothe one another with our words. It's possible and it's happening, and it's amazing that whatever those crazy lunatics out there are thinking that they can accomplish, not only is it backfiring, but if we continue to work together, I think we're going to root them out once and for all from this world. Inshallah. All forms of terrorism, inshallah, with the will of God. All forms of evil and hate. Because remember, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was living in a time when people were terrorizing each other. It was the common norm. Tribes were terrorizing other tribes. Communities were terrorizing other communities. Family were terrorizing each other. But he came and restored not only love and civility and goodness and understanding within a home and a family or a tribe, but within other tribes with the tribes, within other communities with communities. And ultimately, he created that global concept that we all could be one. But it all starts, Carl, from ourselves. That takes us back to the main point of our podcast today. We began by talking about acceptance and why acceptance is important of our difficulties and hardships and how it could be accomplishable. It's important because it's only in accepting who we are and what we face and the trials that we have that we can then explore beyond those what God has substituted those difficulties with goodness. And how can we do that? By surrendering to Allah. And we do that by submission, surrendering our physical and mental capacity to our soul that is submitted to God. And we do that through the month of Ramadan. We go through a disciplinary course to increase the level of spirituality, decrease the needs of the physical body, and emerge as better human beings in our world after 30 days. If I could become a better human being, and inshallah, you could become a better human being, and 1.6 billion Muslims could become better human beings, and they all then teach one other person to become a better human being, then I'm sure that almost half the world, 3 billion people, half the world almost have become a better world. And if these 3 billion just tag along one more person, 6 billion people have become part of a better world. So it all starts from myself, and we pray to the Lord as we pray to Allah as we enter into this blessed month. From next week, we'll be talking exclusively about Ramadan. We'll be talking about our experiences of the first fast and what things that we've what difficulties we had to pass. And we want you all, our listeners, to share your stories. So how was your first day in Ramadan? How was your first fast? A positive experience, a trial that maybe you had to go through within yourselves. Share those stories with us. Email to Carl. What's the email, Carl?
They can email rawislam@vennetwork.org.
So again, that's rawislam@vennetwork.org. Email those stories. We're going to talk about those inshallah next week on our podcast, and we're going to continue to spread those positive stories throughout the sound waves across the world so that we all could be enriched by positive experiences and that we too can find blessings and happiness and forgiveness in this holy month.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
And ameen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters of all faiths, backgrounds, colors, locations, everything, just everyone, we want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for comments. Thank you for emails. And until next time, we will definitely thank Imam Azhar for taking the time out to join us here today. And until next time, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.